There are days when I do not feel all that distant from that homeless person at that church. Days when this plate seems very unsteady and ready to slide. And yet, there have been Naomis, persons in my life, who in those moments when my plate is in danger of just falling onto the floor, come and help steady the plate. Some of those persons are in this room. As we turn now to the epistle lesson for the day, might I suggest that let's read this with our hands open before us. And perhaps in this way, you don't have to have the Bible in your hand, but have your hands before this as if you are holding on to this plate to help steady it. Listen. The Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Rome, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Now we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, you know, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." Now we end there, but just know that the next words are, "Let love be genuine." Would you pray with me? As always, Lord, this is not just about me or us. This is about you knocking on our door, entering into our lives, calling out to us, "Listen, look." I pray, O Lord, that amid my words, that you might be heard. That though people in this room may be looking at me, they might somehow, some way, see you. Help me to remember things, and help me to forget things. And help us, O Lord, to just chew on what you feed us. This we pray in the name of the one whom we say is our Messiah, your Son. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, I was thinking that I might start out my message this morning with a little device, you know, by saying, do you remember the day when someone stood in front of you and you were sitting in a chair and said, Gary Miller?
Present.
Ron Webb?
Here.
You get the point. Being present. Being present. I think it was one person as they were coming in this morning said, well, we made it. We're here. And sometimes that's half the battle, isn't it? Just showing up. And I'm not talking about just showing up for church. I'm talking about showing up for life. Because you know that we can be present, we can show up, but not really be there. Now, those of you who are teachers, do you have students in your classroom who are there, but not really? But being there is important. Being present. This particular passage of Scripture is not just about being here. It is about being present. Now, I know it doesn't say that. It says, present yourselves. And it speaks words about holiness. But I think we've got some mistaken notions of what holiness is all about. For some of us, when we hear that word holy, we envision someone who is not really here, whose mind is maybe halfway in heaven, or whose life is just so perfect that we can't really touch it. It's too holy, too sacred. And I would say to you that that's not really what holiness is all about. That rather, holiness is about being fully present. Not just partially present, but fully present. Did you note it says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Did you catch that? What is a living sacrifice? That's almost an oxymoron. How can something be a sacrifice and yet still living? I mean, a sacrifice by its very nature is something that is killed. It is dead and gone. But present yourselves as a living sacrifice. That video we watched really caught me. Because as I was listening to this person describe that young 17-year-old girl named Naomi, I heard this particular scripture lived out. She was a living sacrifice. Now, I want to unpack that a little bit and just, first of all, start off wondering what else could she have been doing at that point? I know the very fact that she was going to this place for homeless persons and learning about ministering to people meant that she had a commitment level that maybe exceeds some of us in this room. I mean, she could have chosen not to be there. But she also, in being there, could have not really been there. I mean, what could she have done in that room? What would you have done in that room watching if you had been there watching? You know, might you have had your cell phone open and said, OMG! I won't tell you what that means. OMG! There is a smelly man who's dropping his food all over the ground. We can be someplace, but not fully be there, can we? I mean, we can do the right stuff. We can go and help. We can be all over the place, but not be fully there. And I think we all face this, not just those of us who are of the generation that is able to multitask. Being fully present. So I unpack this story about this homeless man and Naomi. I would venture to say that this was a holy moment. Yes, it was a smelly moment. Yes, it was a messy moment. Remember last week, those of you who were here? And yet, it was a holy moment. Now, if I might jump a little bit into our brethren theology, there is a reason why we don't call things sacraments. Yes, we believe that, you know, bread and cup, there's holiness about this. And yes, this when we baptize, there's holiness about this. And yes, all these other things that other churches might call sacraments and we call ordinances, yes, there is something just very holiness and very sacred about it. The reason why we do not call these things sacraments is because we believe that all of life is sacred. And that there are not some moments that are just so much more sacred than other moments. That every moment of our lives has the possibility for God to be fully involved in it. And every moment of our days, if we allow them to be, can be times when God can be present through us, no matter where we are. See, did you catch that? I wasn't just talking about us being fully present, but God being present in and through us. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is not some highfalutin thing. This is not about us performing such holy things that these moments are more holy than other moments and that we're holier than thou. So I believe that God can be present in us, in our days. What God calls us to be is to be fully present in our lives. To be fully present in our lives. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. That's something I struggle to do, to be fully present in my relationships, to be fully present in the things that I am about, to be fully present. I mean, it takes work, yes. And I fall down at it all the time. But that's when others help steady my plate. That's when we help steady one another's plate by being present to the best of our ability with one another. To be present in our work, to be fully present in our daily activities. Because God wants to be fully present in our lives. Now, this passage from the Apostle Paul to the folks in Rome and to us mentions gifts that we all have. It goes through a kind of a litany, and I would note that this is not an exhaustive list of gifts. The point being that we all have gifts. They're not all the same. But the fact is, these things are presents. They're presents. Did you get that? I'm playing with this word a little bit. But they're presents that are not wrapped up with a bow on it, given to us. You know, happy birthday to you, and we open it up and yay! We are a present. God's present for someone else. That's kind of the whole point. You know, we have gifts that differ. We are gifts. And God is present in and through us. I'd encourage you this week, you know, to maybe turn to those who you have received some of their steadying hand, to those who have been present in your life, and to say, just tell them, you know, you've been a blessing to me. I've appreciated your steadying hand. You may not have felt like much of a present, but you were. Gratitude is important. Now, before you, don't turn in your hymnal yet, but we're going to sing a very familiar song, a favorite I know of many among you. A song, the words written by Frances Havergal, I think that's her name, back in the 1800s. But it's a song that talks about being present, being fully present, becoming a living sacrifice, if you will, in your life. In fact, it starts out with that word, those words, take my life. Now note, in each one of these cases, when it goes through this whole litany of things for, you know, that are being offered up, it doesn't say, take away my life. It doesn't say, take away my moments. It doesn't say, take away my hands, take away my feet, my voice, my lips, my silver, gold, my intellect, my will, my heart, my love, myself. It doesn't take away, you know, take me away. Calgill, is that what it used to be? Well, it's not take it away, but take and allow me to be fully present in such a way that I'm a part of these sacred moments, this sacred time. Not a holier than thou time, not that everybody will look at me and say, gosh, see how good this person is? But that we will see, that others might be able to see Jesus. Just like that preacher was able to look at Naomi and say, I saw Jesus. Don't know if that homeless person saw him, but he was there, fully present in Naomi. Well, now is the time to rise in body or spirit, and let's sing that song. And as you do so, think about being a living sacrifice. Take my life and let it be.